Right. Conversation with Death. Just another everyday conversation with Death himself.
She couldn't blame Wayne for feeling out of sorts, but they had to stay focused. Unfortunately, she and the others hadn't even reached the bottom of the constabulary office steps before someone came running down after them. Flushed from exertion and perhaps stress, Blantock looked a great deal less sure of herself now than she had earlier. Marcy stepped forward to meet Blantock.
Yes?
He's gonna send people after you. As soon as he gets over the shock of what happened in there with... you know who. I know Lord Introne. He takes a great deal of pride on how modern and forward-thinking he is. He'll decide you tricked him and will send constables to arrest you.
Wax stepped up behind them.
We don't have time to dodge patrols.
Look, I have no idea what's going on in this city. I thought I did. Until then... until the...
She glanced at the office building and shivered.
I had my illusions shattered quite violently. Something dangerous is going on here.
More than dangerous, Blantock. Catastrophic.
Right. Right. Was that really... you know...
Yes, I've met him before.
Russ?
Blantock turned to face them again.
I think I can keep Introne off your back if you let me send an officer with you.
Out of the question.
Blantock stepped closer and met his eyes.
Listen, this is my city. I don't know what or who you're afraid of, but I'm not part of it. I want to help, and this is the only thing I can think of. If you have a Bilming officer with you, I can persuade Introne. I've got someone watching you.
She turned, gesturing, and a figure came scrambling down the steps, nearly tripping at the end. The slender woman pushed her overly large spectacles up on her face, but that nearly made her drop the three ledgers she was trying to carry. Shoulder-length black hair fell around her face as she struggled to keep the ledgers in hand. She pushed it back and grinned sheepishly, threw lips with bright red lipstick. It was moonlight.
She says she knows you and that you might be willing to trust her. Kim is one of our researchers. She's not a field agent, but she knows her way around Bilming and can help you work in the city.
Moonlight, Kim, thrust out her hand to shake, which almost caused her to drop her ledgers again.
Oh.
She scrambled to catch them.
She looks fun.
You're just imagining tying her shoelaces together. Marcy, do you know this person?
I do.
From where?
Sharing the truth with Blantock didn't seem like a good idea.
We worked on a project together a while ago. She came to Ellendale to further some research she was doing.
Wax narrowed his eyes, obviously trying to decide if that made Kim more or less suspicious. Marcy, though, felt maybe she could trust the woman. A little. After all, Marsh had said that people with the interlocking diamond tattoos would be on their side. Moonlight saluted Wax.
I promise to be of use, sir, and not get in your way. Except maybe by accident.
I think we should bring her.
You're on the team then, Kim. Let's see if you can be of use. A man named Tobel Copper vanished in this city recently. I want to track down where he lived and interrogate anyone who might have known him.
Oh, I don't have that kind of information on me, of course. I just carry around the city maps and details. But I can get you into the records office. We should be able to find answers there.
Which will let them know what we're doing. The set is sure to have agents in such an important place.
I doubt there's another way to get this information. We'll just have to move quickly to stay ahead of them.
Agreed. Lead on, Kim. Captain Blantock, anything you could do to keep the Lord Mayor off our backs would be most appreciated.
The Bilming City Records and Research Building was a huge improvement over the similar offices in Ellendale. Marcy had been forced to spend many an hour in closets searching through thick ledgers of names or broadsheet archives. This building, however, was a sleek, silvery structure, each side more window than wall. Blantock led them inside herself, and a flash of her constable's credentials got them assigned a flock of junior researchers before she bade the group farewell. In minutes, Marcy and the others were sitting in comfortable chairs in a glass-walled meeting room, sipping tea while waiting for the results, all but Wax, who paced like a caged animal. Well, Marcy might have preferred some of Alec's hot chocolate, but this certainly beat spending bleary-eyed hours sorting through old records on her own. The break gave her a moment to jot down a letter to Alec, saying not to worry if he heard of casualties via the broadsheets. She paused. Then she added that he should take a short trip to the countryside to visit her father and stay out of Ellendale for the day, just in case. She stepped out to send the message. She'd seen a radio station on the way to the archive. As she walked down the two white hallway, moonlight emerged from a side passage. Hadn't she gone to the restroom? Marcy glanced over her shoulder and saw that the meeting room where she'd left Wax and Wayne was out of sight.
Good. I was hoping you'd take the cue and slip out to meet me.
I didn't, actually. We should go explain who you are to the others. There's no reason to keep it a secret.
I'd prefer not to. I'm not here for them. I'm here for you.
I thought you couldn't interfere.
Not without orders. I've received some. I can help, but I'm not to reveal myself to the other two. My mentor is worried about their connections to Harmony.
I'm not going to lie to my companions, Moonlight.
You already have.
Only to avoid revealing you to Blantock.
And do you assume those two tell you everything about their lives? Every little detail?
The important ones.
What did Waxillium and Harmony discuss when he died?
That's not important.
Seems to me that it is.
Moonlight stepped around Marcy to stand right in front of her, not really blocking her way, but making certain Marcy met her eyes.
Do you want answers? We have those. Do you want to protect Gadriel? That's our main purpose. But we can't move in the open. That invites our enemies to strike. Beings like Trell are too powerful, and Harmony is too indecisive. What's he doing to help?
He sent us.
He tossed you into the line of fire and said, good luck. It's not his fault. My mentor speaks of him quite fondly. But the reality of your planet's situation is dire. So we must move in the shadows. And our secrets must be maintained, known only to those who have proven themselves.
Wax is the single most proven man alive.
We're not interested in him. We're interested in you. Doesn't it excite you to know things that he doesn't? Things almost no one else does? The secrets of the Cosmere itself?
I don't need to keep secrets from others to feel special.
I believe you. How interesting. Well, for now I'm demanding you keep my secret. That's the cost of my aid. I have met Autonomy. I know how she operates. You need me. But if you tell anyone about me, I'll leave.
That's your play? Extortion?
Extortion? It's just a deal. I have agency, Marcy. I don't have to help you. I have a lead now. I can probably find my way to this Tobal Copper's place on my own long before you. Waxillium trusts you. He'll understand when you explain why you couldn't tell him.
She stepped aside and continued down the hallway, her mannerisms changing as she reached the meeting room door. She became jumpy and excited, and after first pushing on it and blushing when it didn't budge, pulled it open. Marcy continued on her way, uncertain. There was something about how Moonlight talked. Chasing petty thugs, or even mobsters with dangerous intentions, had once thrilled Marcy. But the more she learned of the world and the forces moving in it, the less satisfied she was. Long ago, she'd explained to Wax her philosophy on becoming a constable. She'd envisioned making the entire city safer, not by chasing criminals, but by changing the way people and neighborhoods saw themselves. Lock a man in prison, and you might stop him from committing crimes. Teach a man to respect himself and his community, and you stopped everyone he might have taught, recruited, or bullied. She didn't want to focus on individuals. She wanted to change the world. At least, that was how she'd thought when she'd first dreamed of being a constable. Had she let the day-to-day grind of the job turn her into something else? By the time she returned from sending Alec the message, the research team had already arrived with answers and was spreading out relevant broadsheets and city records for Wax. Marcy stepped up beside him. Moonlight sat primly in the corner with a disarming grin on her face. Wayne was pretending to nap, but he had one eye cracked watching Moonlight.
Don't overdo the act, Moonlight. He'll catch you.
Tobal Copper.
One of the researchers pointed at a listing.
Age 53. A chemist specializing in rubber and manufacturing. Worked for Basin Tires, making, well, tires.
He lost his job about 5 years ago for erratic behavior.
Which means what, exactly?
Well, We pulled most of this information from a lawsuit he filed against his former employer. It seems that they, refused to listen to his vital discoveries about the impending end of the world.
Wax and Maracy shared a look.
Go on.
There's not a lot to tell, unfortunately. The lawsuit was dismissed before reaching even the first stage of trial. In this, he mentions pamphlets he'd created, but that's not the sort of record we archive. Instead, we have his legal case, his apartment lease, and one police blotter record of an arrest.
For disturbing the peace, he was banging on the doors in his apartment complex, yelling that, quote, they've almost split harmonium, and when they do, it's going to destroy us all.
We'll leave you with the information, and we'll keep searching, but I doubt we'll turn up anything else. We keep careful track of the names of anyone arrested for cross-referencing, and these were the only three hits.
One more thing, if you don't mind. Can you find any reports of food shipments vanishing, particularly non-perishable items?
Oh, yeah, that's been happening steadily for 2 years now. Captain Blantock has us watching for such reports, as she finds it baffling. Why would the city's criminal underground be so interested in canned beans?
Why, indeed.
Maracy lifted up a sheet from the lawsuit documents, where Copper had claimed,
someone is building shelters against a cataclysm maintained by inexplicable technology. The city government is in on it, and so were my employers. They fired me because I got too close to the truth. You have to listen. They're splitting harmonium, and once they do, they'll make bombs to turn us into turtles.
That last part seemed a little far-fetched. The researchers vanished out the door, leaving Maracy and Wax to read over the three documents in turn. Unfortunately, it wasn't a lot to go on. The blotter said that after Tobel Copper had calmed, they'd released him. He had not reoffended. The last sheet gave an address in an area the researcher said was expensive. Maracy supposed a head chemist would be paid well.
They probably killed him once the hubbub died down, so it wouldn't look too suspicious.
Possibly. But it's equally likely they grabbed him to make him work on their projects.
Death said he vanished 2 weeks ago. This trail might be cold already.
But it's the best one we have.
Agreed. Kim, do you know where this apartment address is located?